On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory common ownership development. It is broadcast live from WEBR Fairfax, Virginia. Join us as we explore the world of common ownership development, the fastest growing form of residential development in America today. This housing concept includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes that are part of a mandatory homeowners association. Unfortunately, this type of housing is not as utopian as its advocates would have us believe. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means giving up part of the American dream. It means giving up constitutional rights and control over one's most valuable asset, one's home. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WEBR Fairfax Radio, welcome to On the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining me on the Commons today, I'm thrilled to have a trio of veteran advocates and activists from California. Joining me today are Elizabeth and Arnold McMahon, and also Pat English. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today, folks.
Hello.
Hi. Sure, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Welcome. Thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome.
You've got about four bills that are pending in California right now that are designed to protect homeowners who live in mandatory membership associations, and we're going to be talking about those bills. But I'd like to introduce each of you just briefly. Elizabeth and Arnold McMahon, and I guess Pat English is also a founder of the American Homeowners Resource Center, is that correct?
Yeah, Pat has been involved with American Homeowners Resource Center for many, many years. And it was her efforts which actually started homeowners having an input into the legislative process there in Sacramento. So.
Why was it necessary to do something like that, Pat? Go on,
well,
Arnold.
She was asking Pat, why was it necessary for you to go to Sacramento and start trying to get the legislature to stop all of the bad bills that were going through?
Well, initially, Arnold, the legislatures were trying to put through AB 871, which would have allowed the homeowners associations, or which did allow the homeowners associations, to use their reserves for the litigation. And I had seen in Loma Vista how this litigation had drained the reserves of Loma Vista of all of its reserve funds. Over $500,000.
What, you mean the money that was collected basically to maintain the common areas was being used to fight the owners? Hello? Yeah. The money that was collected from the homeowners to maintain the common areas was essentially being used to fight the homeowners, right?
Hello? Yes. Yes, it was. The reserves were funds that were set aside to replenish things like the pools and the roads and landscaping and the common areas. And every month, money from the budget would be required to go into these reserves. Well, AB 871 actually took away that right, because initially it stated that the reserves could be used for litigation. So as a result of that bill, homeowners association boards were filing suit at the recommendation of their managers and at the recommendation of their lawyers, and the lawyers were taking the fees on an hourly basis rather than contingency. And by doing this, they could take as much fees as they wanted to, practically.
And an additional thing in that bill, Sue, was the bill allowed the board of the association to then go and put a special assessment on all of the homeowners to replenish those funds. And it was really a blank check. It gave them an unlimited ability to do that. And in the particular association that Pat was in, the Loma Vista Homeowners Association, the lawyers had basically bankrupted the association. So they got this bill through, and it was at that point that we realized that behind the scenes, all of these lawyers were working furiously to get bills passed on their behalf up in Sacramento, and they had basically bought the chairman of the Assembly Housing Committee, a guy by the name of Dan Hauser, and they would go up there, and the night before they would have a big dinner in his honor, and they would serenade him and wine him, and then the following morning in the Assembly, this Dan Hauser would simply go and basically rubber stamp whatever bills these people wanted. So it was really a horrific situation, and that was really the turning point. And it was then, shortly after that, that Pat, along with Elizabeth and Willardine, went up to Sacramento when they heard that another bill was being introduced into the legislature, which, by these lawyers, which would have allowed the fining of homeowners for, simple rule violation. And, of course, what the lawyers wanted then to do, if the people didn't pay those fines, would be able to foreclose on people's homes. So when Elizabeth, Pat, and Willardine, and another lady by the name of Muriel went up there, at 7 in the morning before the hearing, Willardine contacted one of the local TV stations and told them what was going on. So the television cameras turned up in the hearing room, and immediately the bill was dropped. It was a stunning victory for homeowners. And so that was really the birth of the legislative movement. And this year, really, for the first time, bills are now being introduced to help homeowners get back what has been taken away from them. We've still got an awful long way to go, and of course, the big daddy of them all, which has not yet come up, hopefully sometime we'll have a bill which will be able to take away the right of homeowner associations to foreclose on homeowners for unpaid assessments.
Oh, I agree with you.
That's like using a B-2 bomber to swat a fly. And so, but that, I don't know how long that that's going to take.
If I may interrupt you here for just a second, there is a body of legal beagles, I think it's out of one of the universities in Pennsylvania, who is studying and coming up with uniform laws on how to foreclose. And I don't know what's happened there, but they're trying to make it so that everybody has the same abilities. You know, again, the one size fits all, we're just going to take your home away from you.
It's one thing for a mortgage company who has got, several hundred thousand dollars they've lent to enable you to buy a house and then people default on it. That's one thing. But credit card companies do not have the right to non-judicial foreclosure. And not very often those credit card bills can run into thousands. But we know one case in California where a homeowner association tried to foreclose on one family for a false $5 late charge. What the lawyers do, even if they don't foreclose, they terrorize people to the point where the people will be willing to pay thousands and thousands of dollars in legal fees just to avoid going through the trauma of foreclosure.
And then there was Roy Metzger and his wife, who owned a condominium down by Dana Point. They had a monthly assessment that was raised from $272 a month to $772. The association threatened legal action, and this is a result of AB 871 that I spoke about earlier on. In fact, the judge actually cited Civil Code Section 1365.5C, which was at that time the authority for the homeowners associations to use their reserves for litigation. And I'd like to just add that I'm just back from living overseas for 3 years, and I saw these three bills, and the one that really amazed me was AB 1525 in California, this new proposed legislation. This will make it illegal for homeowners associations to ban residents from flying flags. Now, the first thing I noticed when I came back to the States was everybody, or so many people, had flags on their cars, on their houses. There are flags everywhere. Everyone is proclaiming their patriotism after September the 11th. I think this is a wonderful thing. But can you imagine that homeowners in some homeowners associations were actually banned from it? Now we're fighting in California to regain our constitutional rights. A lot of our constitutional rights in homeowners associations have been stripped from us.
Pat, you're just back from living overseas. We have been fighting the people who've been fighting a lot longer, but until 2 years ago, it was politically okay, it was acceptable to ban people from flying a flag. However, after September 11th, when everybody started flying flags, when the President of the United States asked people to fly flags to show their support and their solidarity, homeowners were being fined, they were being foreclosed on, they were being sued, and just about every state in the union has come up with some, basically a watered-down bill, and the judges are thumbing their noses at it. You've got right here in Virginia, we have the Altons. It cost them in excess of $170,000. That was paying the association's legal fees to go after them, not because they didn't allow flags and flagpoles. Initially, they called it a visual nuisance, because there was a provision against visual nuisances. Then after September 11th, they decided that that would not be politically acceptable. Then they went after them because it was an unapproved lawn structure. You have George Andrus down in Florida, who was being threatened with losing his home. Even though he ultimately won in court, the judge awarded the association legal fees and fees that he didn't have. So the judge said it's okay to foreclose to collect those legal fees. It is unbelievable.
In addition, AB 1525 actually goes further than giving people in homeowner associations the right to fly flags. They can also put up non-commercial messages. And part of this was triggered by the emergency room doctor up near Sacramento, who during the Iraq war, he flew the United Nations flag in his association. So it basically recognizing the right to free speech that people have. Now, there are certain restrictions in terms of size of non-commercial messages, like 9 square feet and so on. But this bill actually goes further than simply flying flags. And of course, a number of years ago, we had the very heartrending case of a widow of a pilot who was lost Air Force pilot lost over Cambodia when she flew the POW MIA flag, and the association went after her, and eventually they actually came, and this is quite an incredible story. they came with a gurney and took her over to a mental hospital because they got a social worker to write up this false report that she was mentally unstable. So it's kind of hard to believe sometimes that you're living in a free country, but anyway.
Yeah, the freest in the world, right?
Right.
It sort of makes a mockery of the whole thing. That's that's one of the bills, is that you will now be allowed to not only fly the Stars and Stripes, but you will be able to fly non-commercial flags.
It isn't, actually non-commercial messages. So, for example, let's say you are trying to campaign for a particular proposition to be passed, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would be allowed to put up a political sign in order to do that.
Are there any restrictions? I mean, does it have to be on your property?
It will have to be on your property. There are a few minor restrictions, like in terms of size, 9 square feet, and you can't put up lights around it and stuff like that. But it's actually quite a good step forward. So hopefully that one will be signed into law fairly soon, and it had significant support in the legislature. There's several other bills. One which is has been great interest is actually sent to the governor's desk on September 4, and this one here. Will allow homeowners to have access to how much, for example, the homeowners association is paying to people to manage the association and things like that. And of course, the industry fought tooth and nail against this.
This is very important, Arnold, especially from the homeowners' point of view, that the homeowners can gain access to details of what's going on in the finances of a homeowners association. This is proposed under AB 104, and this was one of the big problems that we had way back in 91, 92, 93 with Loma Vista, because one had to fight tooth and nail to get information out to the homeowners on the finances.
There is a provision in the bill now, if the homeowner association refuses to produce the requested financial information, then they can be fined $500 per occasion, plus the homeowner can get costs and attorney fees in that. There's just an incredible number of situations where homeowners associations refuse to produce the financial information.
Arnold, let me ask you something. This $500 fine, I think that's great. Who's going to enforce it? Do you have to go to court to get that?
Yes, you would have to go to court to do that.
So there's still no adult supervision provided?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the question.
There's still no adult supervision provided.
One of the things that we have been trying to get, still have not got it, is some sort of government agency which will be able to handle these things without having homeowners clogging up the courts in order to do these things. So far, we haven't been able to get the legislature to act on that, so that's another one of the big priorities we think we need to get, because it's just simply, ridiculous when homeowners have to go and file lawsuits in order to find out how their money is being spent. And one of the arguments that the industry has been making against this, well, this is an invasion of privacy, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I think one of the arguments against that is the industry is always saying, if you don't want to live in a homeowner association, go elsewhere. Well, I think we can now say, if you don't want to work in a homeowner association, go elsewhere.
I really like that one, Arnold.
Right.
Okay, so that's, I'd like to point out that we've had that in Virginia, that the legislature amended the Virginia Property and Condo Act to allow for inspection of salaries specifically. The problem is, that, you know, my guess is that a number of people don't know they have the statutory right to that information, and the only way to make sure that they get it is to go to court. I hear from people constantly, you know, I've asked to see the books and records and I'm being denied access, even though clearly there is statutory authority for the homeowners to get that information.
Yeah, I also understand there was a lawsuit in Virginia where the Supreme Court overturned a lower court ruling granting a homeowner the right to have access to that financial information about the salaries of employees in homeowner associations.
That's right, in Grillo. And the thing is that Grillo won.
Yes.
And he and what's not in the case is that Grillo won his lawsuit at the Supreme Court level, and he did get access to the books, to the financial information he sought that year. The following year, he went back. This time, in addition to the lawsuit, you had the statutory authority. And when he went back the following year, same association, same management, same board, I believe the same attorney, they still denied him his right to inspect the books and records. He had to go back a second time to court.
Which of course points out as you know, that there are really serious structural flaws in homeowner associations, very profound and very far-reaching. And until those are addressed, we're going to keep continuing have these problems one after another. For example, developers who develop these properties, when they draw up the CC&Rs for an association, generally these are boilerplate ones which they use from one development to another with a few minor objections. If they were really had any common sense, they would want to seek the input of homeowners into the framing of these CC&Rs. And then I think it would cut down on an awful lot of these problems which come up. And they're all structured, of course, to not to make it a level playing field, but to enable homeowner associations to be cash registers for lawyers and management companies.
Well, that's exactly right, and it's the very same attorneys who will ultimately benefit by making sure that there's a whole lot of turmoil and litigation in associations. Those are the ones who are writing the governing documents.
There is another bill which actually has been sent to the governor's desk, because as I'm sure you're well aware, given our recall situation in California, it's going to be interesting to see if the governor is going to sign it before October 7, which is the recall date. This one flows out of the California Law Revision Commission, which has been kind of working on revising homeowner association statutes in California. This bill would allow homeowners to have input if a homeowner association passes certain rules in the association. It gives the homeowners a chance to question those, and if they get sufficient number of votes, to call a special meeting at which they could overturn it.
This is a very good bill, because the problem with Loma Vista in 91 was that several board members, I believe there were five at the time, five board members made the decision for the entire, there were about 200 homeowners there, that they should go into litigation for very minor defects that were shown in the road. And if the homeowners had the opportunity at that time to question the board's decision, Loma Vista may not have gone into that lawsuit in the first place. So I think it's very important that the homeowners can have some input on how their, in this case, their reserves were being spent. And if they can question the board's decision, if they can vote against what the board's doing, then I think it's very important.
And a lot of this comes about, interestingly enough, don't really want to get into at this point the whole recall situation in California, but the fundamental homeowner association law in California is called the Davis-Sterling Act. And Davis is the Gray Davis of who is currently up for recall. And in our research, we found out that when he was the chairperson of the housing committee in the assembly, he hired the leading industry lobbyist in the country, Catherine Rosenberry, to draft this homeowner association law. And he then had the act drawn up, and he told us specifically, and she in fact testified this at a public hearing I was at in Sacramento about 2 years ago, he told her to take care of the special interests. So, they have been contributing to his campaign coffers, of course, ever since. But unfortunately, this is in large part how he used to operate. And interestingly enough as well, the Sterling, the second part of the act, the Davis-Sterling Act, who was also in the legislature at the time, he became a judge down in San Diego. And when we interviewed him a year or two ago, he said, the last thing I would ever do is live in a homeowner association.
Yet his name is attached to the laws that regulate them. Allegedly.
So that's why I think this is just one small example of why a lot of people in California are really upset at the corrupt political system. And because the related second sad thing to that is doesn't seem to be really anybody out there of any stature who give people the confidence of making any significant change. So what kind of a bad shape out here?
Well, we're going to be taking a break in a minute, and when we come back, what I want to do is touch on what AHRC's done, because you are getting a whole lot of media interest. Recently, the media has woken up and has decided to take a serious look at what's going on here. For years, they decided to just ignore the problems, and maybe they'll go away. And of course, they presumably didn't want to offend the real estate industry. But that's beginning to change, and I think that AHRC has been a catalyst in that change. And the reason for that is because you guys have had so much information out there and available on the internet for people to access. And with that, I think we're going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.
WEBR Fairfax Radio. Welcome to On the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining me on the Commons today are Arnold and Elizabeth McMahon from California, and also Pat English. And the three of them are veteran advocates for individual homeowner rights, and they've been fighting first in California, in the California legislature, to make sure that homeowner rights are not eroded completely. And now they're working sort of on the national scene. They have an incredible website, ahrc.com. It's a database with an enormous amount of information about homeowner associations, articles, stories, personal stories, anecdotal stories, and it's attracting the media. And Arnold, maybe you want to tell us a little bit. You've been getting a whole lot of contacts from the media wanting information.
Yes, actually, that really is beginning to blossom. I think that homeowner associations has now begun to hit the national radar screen. And we've had significant inquiries from places like, you know, such as the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, NBC, People magazine. There's a whole list going on.
ABC's 2020.
I'm sorry?
ABC's 2020 did a whole story on associations.
Yes. That's interesting. What we used to find in previous times was that media, if there was a particular horror story, they would pick up on it. And now what is gratifying is the media has now begun to mature and to look behind the scenes at what produced these horror stories. And that's why several articles now are beginning to appear on particular legislation dealing with homeowner associations. And I think they've begun to realize that this really is one of the major untold stories on both the local and on the national scene. And with so many people living in homeowner associations, almost one in every six Americans, they realize that this is a phenomenon which needs to be addressed. There are also the media is also having an impact upon some of the kind of the bad players in all of this. For example, one particular law firm which had been sued by one homeowner for RICO violations, for example, they got a call from the New York Times about it, and immediately they wanted to settle with the homeowner.
I think that's phenomenal. Unfortunately, that means the RICO, there's not going to be a court case. There's not going to be a precedent.
Correct, right. But it was interesting that the judge did allow the RICO case to go forward. And that, of course, was potentially very damaging.
That would have been. And basically, you know, when I talk to people, people call me sometimes, and they'll say, oh, I read this on AHRC's website, or I found this on the American Homeowners Resource Center website. So there are a lot of people. You're getting a lot of hits.
Yeah, we are approaching about 1 million hits a month now.
Wow.
Now, I know Yahoo gets about 70 million a day, but so we're not Yahoo. But given the particular focus that it's on, it gives a significant indication of the interest. And interestingly enough, not just in this country, but we have documented, we have hits from approximately 42 countries around the world, because this whole homeowner association thing is being pushed in all sorts of areas, in China, in Indonesia, in Japan, and of course, on the major reasons it's being pushed is because people think that they can make a tremendous amount of money out of it, and it really is reshaping the very fundamental concept of what it means to have a home. I teach college, so the other evening in class, we were talking about one particular theme, and I just happened to ask people how many lived in homeowner associations, and probably about 70 to 80% of the class did, And so I said, do you feel that you're kind of bonded to your tract home? And immediately I heard groans from all around the class.
Yeah.
So people have lost this sense of what it means to have a home, that it is kind of an extension of who they are, and it's simply become like another commodity. And that has powerful ramifications, because a place, a home is a place where, you know, you live and raise your family. It's got a whole host of other non-commercial values associated with it. And then all of them, to a person, were very strongly against living in homeowner associations.
Well, it's interesting, because I often will go places where nobody knows me and I don't know anybody else. For instance, standing in line in a supermarket, and you start picking conversations with people around you, and when I mention homeowners associations, they all, to a man, woman, all make these horrible faces. They go, oh, I hate mine.
The industry did this survey a number of years ago, trying to establish that everybody was very happy with it, but they didn't point out that in the survey, well over 40% of the people in the survey said they would never live in a homeowner association again.
But you know what, Arnold? The people who are part of the industry, the attorneys and the managers, because I interview them quite often, and I ask them, do you live in an association? And they don't.
Of course not.
These are the people who are in a position of knowing what they're getting into, and they won't live in them, yet they're out there advocating them for you and me.
In California now, we're beginning to see, for the last several years, when people are putting their homes up for sale, it will say, not in a homeowners association.
Yeah, I'm hearing that. I've seen that here, and I'm hearing that from around the country. That's right. That's right. I'm sorry, go on.
Yes, just a few more comments on Assembly Bill 512, introduced by Patricia Bates. That arose because several of her constituents came to her and said, you know, all of a sudden we're being fined because we're supposedly breaking certain rules which were created by the board. And they said, we had no idea that these rules had been created. And you would think that, that there really should not be a need for a bill like this, but that gives one some idea of what actually goes on in homeowner associations, which common sense would seem to say, look, if we handled it right, you don't need to go out and have all legislation to correct all of the mistakes that they're making in homeowner associations. And so it was quite courageous of her to go out. She faced a fierce storm of opposition from the industry, and so she was quite courageous in going out and sticking and pushing through this bill. And I think what will happen, the more we have articles in newspapers, the more we have coverage on TV, of course, legislators are going to become aware of that. They're going to realize that so many of the constituents live in homeowner associations, and then they're going to begin to address some of these problems, because we do have this big machinery out there of legislation which is simply not working, and there needs to be this drastic overhaul.
Arnold, let me ask you something. You know, you say that the industry is very much opposed to AB 512.
Yes.
What exactly is it that, what are they claiming is so damaging about it?
Basically, what they are saying is damaging is that it is giving homeowners more power. They want boards of homeowner associations to be able to go out and basically have unfettered power to do what they want in homeowner associations. And part of the reason for this is that, you know, the lawyers, you know, especially, they stand to gain when homeowners are accused of violating rules in homeowner associations, because then the board will ask them to write a letter to the homeowner. They make a nice little chunk of change off that, and then as it progresses and they file liens and eventually lawsuits, lawyers make a lot of money out of that. And of course, if they can have boards whom they have significant influence and control over to go out and pass these rules and not tell the homeowners they're out there, then, you know, it's like saying, you know, not telling anybody that if you go through a red traffic light, you're going to get fined. The fundamental thing behind it is not letting homeowners have control.
Yet, Arnold, when they go to the legislature and they whine and complain because they don't want any interference, they say, this is now the industry, says that these are self-governed communities. It's the people themselves that want this. How can they turn around then and say, well, we don't want them to have any input? I mean, isn't that a contradiction?
Absolutely. This is the message which the industry has been saying for years. What it's saying is these are private contracts. Okay, the government should not interfere. But then the industry will run off to the legislature to get the legislature to change the private contract. A contradiction in positions is always the best sign that there's something significantly wrong with one's position.
Well, they seem to come and talk, argue from both sides of their mouth, you know?
And I suppose if they had other sides, they'd argue from them also.
Well, they do, but we won't go there, okay?
This is part of a broader attack upon democracy, both in this country and around the world. And I think, you know, the American people need to dig in their heels and say, look, you know, these are our homes. This is a democratic society. This is what we need to do. And that's why we want to encourage everybody across the country to take heart and don't feel that they are alone, and that although there may be a long road ahead of us, we need to begin that march and hopefully win victories along the way until eventually we can either reform these things completely, or even in some cases do away with them.
Well, I think at a minimum we need to recognize that they're not working and we need to stop building more of them.
But here, of course, we get into the incestuous relationship between, very often what takes place between local governments and the developers, because the local governments are always kind of feeling strapped for cash. So they see homeowner associations as being a way to cut down on tax, on expenses by making these associations take care of the streets and everything else, which normally would be taken care of by a city. For example, in San Clemente in California, they're building about 5,000-6,000 new homes, and the city requires them all to be in homeowner associations.
Well, that's one thing we see across the country, these mandates, because the local municipalities generally benefit by them.
Yes, and of course, the other interesting thing is that this arrangement actually results in a double taxation. In other words, the people in homeowner associations are paying taxes like everybody else in the city or outside of homeowner associations. But in addition, they are paying taxation for the taking care of the streets and the lighting and everything else within the homeowner association.
It's basically creating two separate classes of citizens.
That's correct. But from a practical standpoint, this is where I referred earlier, the industry argument has been that, well, if you don't want to live in a homeless association, don't live in one. But in the previous example I just gave you about San Clemente, if you want to live in San Clemente, if 6,000 people want to live in San Clemente without living in a homeowner association, it's just not possible.
Yeah, well, that and what they're doing here in Fairfax County, they're tearing down existing older developments and replacing them with these high-density, new urbanism type of garbage. And so what there is that's not controlled is soon disappearing.
Yes, and also one aspect of this taxation issue is that actually the police don't provide, you know, the same police services in homeowner associations as they do for the rest of the city. So the there's a whole raft of ramifications which are taking effect here, and so I would think that, and as there seems to be a growing, swelling movement, concern and frustration about people who live in homeowner associations, and we know we get all across the country on a daily basis, often some very heart-rending stories, and I'm sure that's only the tip of the iceberg.
Oh yeah.
So that's why we encourage people to send in the information to the ARC website so that we can then publish it so that everybody around the country begins to see the overarching patterns which are taking place.
You know, you were talking about double taxation and how homeowners are being forced to pay taxes plus pay for the same services, pay the association. Now, associations typically are not doing a particularly good job of managing the money. And there's yet another bill, AB 1086, that's being proposed. And this is going to prevent, I mean, this is another way of fleecing the homeowners, isn't it?
Absolutely. We've known many associations who charge $500, $1,000, for simply recording a name of change. For example, if somebody sells their home in a homeowner association, then to delete their name and enter the name of the new resident, some people are now charged $500, $1,000. Well, what do they do it with? Gold pens or something? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's just another way to fleece homeowners, and of course when you're in the midst of selling your home and you're going through escrow and you want the escrow to close and everything else, many people just go ahead and pay it to get the thing out of the way.
Well, you've got these transfer fees, and this in and of itself is going to have to be a whole different show, because what they're trying to do as well, I mean, they're constantly looking for ways of taking more and more money away from the homeowners. The local municipal governments are not able to manage the finances. They sort of go a little bit off cock. So then you end up with having homeowner associations. They're not managing the finances very well. They're always poor. They're always, you know, running behind. And so now they found yet another way, basically, of filling their coffers, and these are transfer fees. So if you sell your house, in addition to just transferring the name, but they're also taking additional funds away from you. They're saying we are responsible for enhancing, increasing your property values, therefore we have to have a share in that profit.
Just to give you a small example, there was a management company here in Southern California called Marquee Management Company. And the president of the company, a lady by the name of Diane Fullerton, who is now actually has been charged with bank fraud in an unrelated case. Her company went bankrupt twice, actually. But in the process of all of that, we discovered that her monthly salary was $50,000.
Monthly salary?
Monthly salary.
Good
so
heavens.
When you grow up, sure, and you're thinking of trying to find a career.
what are we doing on this side of the fence, Arnold? There's no money here.
Exactly. But there are some vast management companies out there, and they make tremendous amounts of money. One bill which went through last year, AB 555, was a classic case where these management companies got together and said to the legislature, we think that managers in homeowner associations should be certified. And fine, in theory. But then, who was going to do the training of the of these managers? Well, the schools, or if you want to call them that, which were set up by these management companies to provide the training. So they had enough muscle and clout to get that one through the legislature. So they're now making money out of people who need to have this certification to be a manager, and they've created a nice closed shop for themselves.
It's never ending.
It's never ending, right? The signs are hopeful. Obviously, there's a long way to go, but I think the media more and more are going to realize that this is a significant story. We know one major newspaper now, which wants us to sit down with them to really do an in-depth story about homeowner associations. We have a television station which wants to sit down with us and begin to do an in-depth story on homeowner associations. So we believe it's going to grow, and so the more people that we can get involved, because it's going to take everybody to give their experiences and insights and suggestions, that this is the type of thing that can make a difference. And if we can save somebody's home in the process, if we can save somebody from getting sick over all of the stress which they go through in homeowner associations, then it's worth it. So hopefully people across the country will not take a defeatist attitude and think, oh well, we can't do anything, we can't win. I think by people digging in their heels, we can win. So hopefully people will continue to do that.
Well, I agree with you, and I think that there are more of us than there are of them, and I think in unity there's solidarity in unity, or whatever the saying is, and we do need to get band together, and we need to let the legislature know exactly what we want and not what the special interests want. And there's an old article here that Elizabeth faxed me this morning, a Brad Inman column. And I guess you guys really shook the very foundation of the California legislature when you went up there back in 1993.
That was really, I think, the turning point in California. I often kind of compare it to, when Rosa Parks sat on the bus that day down in Birmingham, Alabama, and said, I'm too tired. I'm sitting in the white section on the bus, but I ain't going to move. I think when Elizabeth and Pat and Muriel and Willardine, when they went up there, that was really kind of one of those Rosa Parks things where they said to the legislature, look, we're not going to let all of this stuff happen. And it did. It shocked the legislature. And when they saw those TV cameras, they shelled that bill faster than Houdini could do it. So.
Well, thank you so much. I know because of the problems, our technical problems on our end, Pat and Elizabeth hung up, but thank you so much for sticking with me, Arnold.
Okay.
I really appreciate you coming on. Keep up the good work, because I really think that you are at the center of the turnaround here.
Okay.
On the national level. Stay tuned and stay free. On the Commons is produced by LTC Multimedia Productions. See y'all next week.